Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 24th day of January. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And then a bit later in the program, we'll check in on a letter that has been sent to Donald Trump as it relates to the North American Free Trade Agreement. We'll talk with the folks from the Illinois Corn Growers Association. Along the way, we'll discuss what's been happening in the agricultural energy markets. Dan O'Brien will join us from K-State University, and we'll discover just exactly what the weather looks like. That with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
I hear the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon. Futures like this: the nearby March corn down 6 1/4, $3.63 1/4. May at 370 1/2, 6 lower. July at 377 1/2, down 5 3/4. And December corn a nickel lower at $3.91. March soybeans 3/4 higher at $10.58 1/2. The May at 10.68, a penny and a quarter higher. July 10.73 3/4 up 3/4, and September soybeans 3/4 higher as well at 10.47 1/4. November contract or new crop harvest $10.26 3/4 higher. Bean oil futures up 15 cents at $35.28. Bean meal at $343 even, down 50 cents. March soft red winter wheat at $4.26 3/4, 6 1/2 cents lower. May down 6 at $4.41. July the harvest month at $4.56, 5 1/2 cents lower. Hard red July at $4.65 1/2, down 3 cents for the day. Live cattle futures finished the February at $119.67 1/2, down 57 1/2 cents. The April there at $118.40, down 77 1/2. January feeders at $132.42 1/2, 35 cents lower. The March at $130.17 1/2, 50 cents lower. And the lean hogs for the day: February contract $65.22 1/2, up 22 1/2 cents. The April at 67.62 1/2, 15 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Do look us up online. You can find all of our information there at willag.org. That address is willag.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Farm Credit Illinois joins in celebrating the rich history of Illinois agriculture.
Well, let's check in on some of the energies at this hour. Crude oil for the day at $53.14 a barrel is 39 cents higher. Ethanol futures at $1.46, down 3 2/10 cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.64 1/10 is 1 1/2 cents higher. And gasoline on the RBOB up 0.3 cents at $1.56 9/10 cents per gallon. Natural gas at $3.27 9/10, 3 6/10 cents higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 19,868 is 133 points higher. The U.S. dollar at 100.34 is up 0.21. And the gold futures for the day at $1,207, down $8.60. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening. Partly cloudy skies overnight, a low of 38 degrees, winds out of the southeast at 15 to 25. Tomorrow, we can expect some changes, decreasing cloudiness with winds in high winds during the day, a high of 48 degrees southwest at 20 to 30 miles an hour for those winds. They'll gust over 40, and then Wednesday night, cloudy, windy early, snow showers developing late at night, a low of 31. Winds out of the west at 20 to 30. Chance of snowfall tomorrow set at 40%. Thursday, cloudy skies. Temperatures near steady in the low to mid-30s. Winds out of the west, northwest at 15 to 25. And on Thursday evening, cloudy, a low of 23 degrees. Winds at the west, 10 to 20 miles an hour. On Friday, cloudy, a high of 28. Winds out of the west at 15 to 25. And Friday night, a few clouds and will drop down to a low of 21 degrees.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium on this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 24th day of January. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It's been a busy day for me. I haven't really had a chance to get much of a look at what happened in the grain markets. Can you tell me why corn was down 6 cents?
Well, you know, we've been hanging in there really good on the corn. We were up pushed against our 200-day moving average, and it was either a sort of break up a dime or break down to possibly close to a dime. And when the executive orders come through on the Keystone and Oklahoma pipelines, there was a feeling amongst the trade that big oil was going to be favored, and that's not favorable to biofuels. That was a little bit that sold us off a little bit there. The funds turned around and sold about 11,000 contracts of corn that way. The other thing, though, was overnight we saw that corn touched that 371 mark in the March, and we saw quite a bit of farmers selling that had orders in at that 370-71 mark when it did that. And I think that that also helped turn it around as we got going, because there was a lot of cash sales being made by farmers there. We're seeing the farmers were, you know, willing to sell about that 370 mark. It was a look that they, a point that they were looking for along the way. So I think that was part of what turned us around, along with just the turnaround Tuesday attitude.
And then did you get a chance to take a look at the Informa numbers as they were released today and looking forward towards the acreage?
Informa numbers, they're saying 90.5 million acres versus 94 on the corn. Of course, that's a little higher than what some of them were looking for, what they put out last week on that. So that success to crop near, 14,170 versus last year was 15,148. The soybean numbers, they were a little lower than what they were producing or forecasting last week here, 88.6 versus 83.4 last year, which is not the 7 million acre increase that we saw in some of the estimates last week. And I think on Thursday we're going to see some of the production numbers or the estimates out of Argentina from the Argentine government. Unfortunately, those numbers generally aren't very accurate.
Yeah, so I was going to ask about weather in South America. It seems like it's gone out of the marketplace, at least for the moment. Are conditions getting better there then?
You know, some places they are and some they aren't. There's a little some areas that are staying a little dry. It looks continue dry, but dry is what they need across central Argentina. And that way. So we have backed up or settled down a little bit here. It does look like the Argentine farmers, there was the talk about starting later to lower some of their tariffs, and so they're pretty tight holders, especially on a down market. They're not pushing any sales from the farmers down there, especially on a down day. And they are being pretty tight holders of their beans, just thinking that it's, you know, that they will have better prices come next year, less taxes to pay, not maybe better prices. You know, we did see some of the advisory firms today selling another 20% of their new crop corn, looking to do that. They had some stops in on their beans, but they didn't close down enough to do it. As far as harvest goes in South America, Rio Grande or Mato Grosso is about 16% harvested. Last year they only had 2% harvest at this time, and that's the only area that's really in much into harvest as far as it's going this year. But it looks like the trucker strike's over down there, so that's going a little better.
What are you talking to your producers about doing, if anything, for old crop corn and soybeans?
Well, the old crop corn and beans, we did market some corn on the old crop around the 370 mark here, trying to move quite a bit of corn in some of the areas before they post the roads, especially up north that way. So I think we're doing that. We did do a little corn selling this week in the new crop, 395 and above, sort of backed off today, like doing that way. And we did sell a few beans at on new crop beans at the 1030 mark that we had some sold. So just a little bit, but sort of sitting back and waiting after we get to a certain percentage sold.
And where are producers? I know you managed to do that. Have producers followed through with you? Do they think that's the right thing to do?
You know, we've had probably 50% of the people we talked to doing a little bit that way, and 50% saying, I'm just going to sit back and wait and see what goes on here and hope for a little better movement down the road. Last year, a lot of farmers sold early, and they're a little gun-shy this year.
And Indeed, they are a little gun-shy at this point. Have they been willing sellers of any extra soybean acres that they plan to put in the ground?
You know, the guys that actually sit down and tell you that they're going to plant another 80 or 200 acres of beans, they haven't priced all of them by any means, but they have priced about half what the 20 bushel of the acre on those acres.
All right. Anything else that we need to talk about for the day?
That's about it today, Todd.
All right. Hey, thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. In today's agricultural news, Senators John Thune and Representative Kristi Noem, GOP tax writers both, are back out with their measure to scrap the estate tax, a longtime goal of the party now in full power in Washington, D.C. The two South Dakotan lawmakers in statements emphasize the tax's impact on farmers, and Noem recounting how her family got a notice from the IRS after her father died in a farm accident. No family should have to go through what ours did, she says, so I'm committed to seeing this tragedy tax finally repealed. Thune added, in an environment where it's frequently too difficult and costly for family-owned farms to be passed from one generation to the next, we should be knocking down hurdles to find ways and incentives for families to retain these multi-generational businesses. In other news from Washington, D.C., Tom Carper, ranking member of the Environmental Public Works Committee and other Democrats, will hold a panel discussion on Scott Pruitt's nomination to head the EPA, highlighting what they say are serious questions that still remain over Trump's selection of the Oklahoma Attorney General. Expected participants include representatives from the Water Keepers Alliance, Natural Resources Defense Council, Moms Clean Air Force, and Indian and Environmental Law Group, among others. And one more quick item, President Trump's executive action calling for a hiring freeze on federal workers could hit FDA hard, particularly as the agency tries to ramp up to implement the Food Safety Modernization Act. Trump's move includes a caveat that allows the head of any executive department or agency to exempt from the freeze positions deemed necessary to public safety and public health. FDA declined to say whether this would be applied to any of its open positions, and the White House has made no comment on the issue. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Busy day for me. I started this morning at Miss Carroll's around 7 a.m. in Watsika, along with Farm Credit Illinois, thanks to them. I'll be with them again this evening in Sherman at the Farm Credit Illinois building. That's open to everybody if you'd like to come in and see. We'll have a particularly good presentation by Aaron Hager, weed scientist from the U of I. He'll talk about all kinds of things, including dicamba soybeans and how they can and should be used in your fields. Drop by there tonight if you can. In between that process, I stopped by the iHotel on my way back from Watsika today and talked with the president of the Illinois Corn Growers Association about a letter that has been sent to the Trump administration regarding NAFTA. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's been a busy week in Washington, D.C. Donald Trump fulfilling one of his campaign promises this week to withdraw the United States from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP. Of course, it had been stalled, and while there was a great deal of thought that it might be very good for agriculture over the long run, it's something that had not been put in place. However, he's also thinking about NAFTA, or the North American Free Trade Agreement. This has been in place for quite some time, about 20 years, and it has had an impact on agriculture not only in the United States, but in Canada and Mexico as well. We're now joined by Justin Durden. He is the president of the Illinois Corn Growers Association, a farmer from Utica, Illinois. Justin, thanks for being with us. How important has this trade been for the United States between Canada and Mexico as relates to agricultural products?
Sure, and first of all, thanks for having me on, Todd. I appreciate it. If you look at, so back in 1993, our exports to our neighbors to the north and the south were around $8.9 billion. And since 1993, we have actually quadrupled that number to $38.6 billion. So it's a big deal for for local farmers and then processors all across the country.
And this is just the food and agricultural exports. It doesn't entail the rest of the NAFTA agreement. Donald Trump thinking that he might want to renegotiate some of this agreement. The Illinois Corn Growers Association has signed on, along with the National Corn Growers Association, and many associations as well as industry partners have sent a letter to Mr. Trump this week to talk about NAFTA and its importance. Why the letter at this time?
We feel that this is a timely manner. We have TPP that's kind of been taken off the table already this week. So we just feel that if we would lose NAFTA, that would be another kind of bad spot for corn exports.
So Mexico is the number two importer of U.S. corn?
That's correct, behind Japan.
And this is a fairly recent development, but it's part of the North American Free Trade Agreement and the ability for goods, in this case a commodity, corn, to cross the border free of tariffs and trade impediments?
That's correct. And also, I mean, in addition to, corn itself, Mexico is a large importer of ethanol. That's a big market for us. So it's more than just raw materials. We're looking at value added as well.
The letter outlines a whole lot of things, but bottom line, what is the hope or the ask from the administration? What do they want from the administration in way of consideration?
Sure. For us, our number one priority is to sustain prices in revenue. So we're in a low commodity environment right now. And so what we need is the industry to work with the administration and then preserve and expand upon the gains the sector has achieved within the North American market. And that would strengthen our competitiveness around the globe.
Thank you so much, Justin. I appreciate you being with us for the day.
Thank you.
Justin Durden is with the Illinois Corn Growers Association. He serves as their president and is a farmer from Utica, Illinois. Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. And we always check in on the agricultural energies. And Dan O'Brien is with us this week. He's at K-State University, where he's an agricultural economist and follows ag energies. Hey, thanks, Dan, for being with us. Can you tell me about, some losses that have been occurring in both ethanol and biofuels?
Well, we've had a good long run, relatively long for the last several months basically with ethanol prices holding up decently and low cost corn, ethanol plants were showing decent profits. It seems that as we've looked at what's happened here in January, that corn prices have come up, arguably 20-30 cents, and ethanol prices have continued to weaken. Add in with that some weakening of distillers' prices, and it looks like we, at least by our calculations, looking at representative Iowa plants, we have a January average price so far for ethanol of about $1.35 a gallon, cost of about $1.48, and losses about somewhere between 8, 9, 10 cents. So still, we've had a good run of profits, and there's cheap corn to be found, no doubt, in the countryside, but still that's lower than the 10, 20, 30 cent profits we've been seeing for about 4 or 5 months in a row.
Yeah, so because there is this change in the marketplace, are there any expectations that go along with it that relate to either commodities, corn and soybean, or is it just something that happens periodically?
Well, so far it's just something that's happened in the short run here. I think the biggest issue probably has to do with again, the trends we've seen in corn and soybeans heading in that divergent direction. Really, the test of this will be whether we maintain strength in production and demand pull, into that industry as we head off into, next 3 or 4 or 5 months. 1 month of of moderate to minor losses, it doesn't shift an industry around. I think you'd have to see again losses combined for several months in a row before you start seeing slowdown in production and issues like that. So generally overall, though, with the RFS holding up, as you know, the news from last year, and general I guess optimism about the U.S. economy and where energy prices go in regards to that, you would think we'd have a more of a rosy positive outlook. But at least in the short run, we were seeing things challenging.
I would add in
biodiesel. I think we've seen a trend of biodiesel prices moving to the high side, which is good. But soybean oil has shot up enough as a cost component for that we've seen profits now also in biodiesel trend to the lower side for the first time in several months. So the cost about $2.26 per gallon, price of biodiesel about $3.14. Well, combination of that, you're looking at about 12, 13 cents losses. Again, for the first time in several months. So more of a softening of the profit picture for both ethanol and biodiesel in these industries.
Given the change in administration, does this have any nuances that we should be clearly worried about?
Oh, I don't know that it's so much worried. I wonder, with increased exploration, where energy prices will go. But then again, energy prices have both direct effects on these industries and indirect effects on their costs. So I think we'll see in the longer run how both the input and output prices are affected. Generally, we're looking for more quantity, and we'll see how demand holds up in light of that and where it takes these industries in terms of profitability.
I'd like to switch topics with you just a little bit. We've got maybe a minute and a half or so. How is the condition of the hard red winter wheat in your state?
Well, here in President Eisenhower's from Kansas, and he came up with the famous statement that he just wished he had a one-handed economist. We have a two-handed answer. On the one hand, we've just gotten some moisture. But there's surely some concern about winter damage and such. And we won't be able to answer the question of how good or poor the wheat looks given the roughness that it's had in some quarters out here in Western Plains until we actually break dormancy. And that's probably somewhere around March 1st. As of right now, I think things look decent, but we did have some pretty cold temperatures and not a lot of snow cover in some areas. We'll just have to see. More concern about the lower plantings. That's an industry concern, and slow exports. Again, I think the soft red folks in your part of the world are seeing the same thing as we are here in the hard red. Just a lot slower exports than we wish we had.
Hey Dan, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. Dan O'Brien is with K-State University. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. It is the 24th day of January. When we come back, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Just a quick reminder, I'm on the road a lot today. Was in Watsika this morning. I'll be in Sherman tonight. That at the Sherman Regional Office for Farm Credit, Illinois. And we'll have along with us Aaron Hager, weed scientist. He'll talk about dicamba beans and a whole lot of resistant, herbicide-resistant weeds. You should be there, too. Starts at 5.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Peanut Butter Day. Peanuts were known as early as 950 BC in South America. The first U.S. commercial peanut crop was grown in North Carolina around 1818. Dr. Ambrose Staub of St. Louis has been credited with patenting a peanut butter making machine in 1903. On this day in agricultural history in 1828, Ferdinand Cohn was born, a German naturalist and botanist. He studied insect epidemics and plant diseases. In 1860, James Pollard Espy died, an American meteorologist. He was one of the first to collect meteorological observations by telegraph. He is also credited for giving the first correct explanation of the thermodynamics of cloud formation. In 1922, the Eskimo pie was patented by Danish immigrant Christian Nelson, an Iowa school teacher and candy store owner. Nelson claims the inspiration for the invention came from when he was a boy and unable to decide whether to spend his limited money on a chocolate bar or ice cream. The patent described the treat, quote, in its simplest form, a block or brick of frozen confection within an edible container or shell. In 1988, Charles Glenn King died. King was a biochemist who discovered vitamin C in 1932. And in 2006, Nicholas Shackleton died, an English geologist and paleoclimatologist. He helped identify carbon dioxide as a greenhouse gas. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
We are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined now by Don Day. He's a day weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, Don, thanks for being with us for the afternoon. Can you take me through the weather in South America, please?
Well, right now it's pretty dry, especially in Argentina. It's been a bit of a dry trend developing. It's going to continue down there for probably another week to 10 days. Now, we're still seeing some rains in Brazil, but one area we're watching is Argentina, at least in the next week. It's a dry forecast, maybe some hints of rain as we get into early February, but that's one area we're watching.
Well, you mentioned those rains in Brazil. I'm wondering a bit more about that. They are in the midst of their harvest season in Mato Grosso. However, there are some dry regions to the northern part of that nation.
They have been. There are some dry pockets, but overall, Brazil's fared better than Argentina with rainfall. And the rainfall prospects there are better over the next couple of weeks.
What are your thoughts about conditions in the United States and what those are like at this time? And could you give me an update of the Midwest in particular?
Well, it will. We are not expecting what I'd call any big Arctic intrusion, at least here in the short term. But we are going to be trending colder in we're going to have a very cold air mass up in Hudson Bay and over south central areas of Canada that I think as we get into the new month will probably mean some colder winter weather. So far this winter, the cold has been focused mostly in the west, but we're going to see it creeping more eastward as we get into February and early March. So do be prepared for that.
Stay here in the Midwest, but I'd like to go to the northern reaches of the Corn Belt where they grow spring wheat. Also to the hard red winter wheat growing regions. Can you give me an update on snow cover in those places?
Well, those areas are about ready to get some snow cover. The snow cover has been about average, maybe a little bit below in some areas, but we're going to see significant snow across Nebraska, southern South Dakota, into western and southwest Minnesota and portions of western Iowa here over the next 24 hours. So those areas, snow cover isn't bad, and with some cold air coming in behind it, that'll give us some protection from some colder temperature readings. Where snow cover is not shaping up to be good or soil moisture a bit inadequate will be those southern plains areas.
Hey, thanks, Don, for joining us today.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Don Day. He's with Day Weather. Out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. Check us out online at willag.org, willag.org, anytime you'd like. You can also see my travel schedule there. I'll be on the road a whole bunch yet this week. Tonight, in fact, I'll be in Sherman, Illinois, at the Farm Credit Illinois building, starting at 5 o'clock for dinner and then around 6. Aaron Hager will take the stage, or or thereabouts. He's a weed scientist from the U of I. I have seen his presentation from this morning at Miss Carroll's in Watseka, and it's a really good one if you want to hear about resistant weeds in the state and dicamba and some other herbicides along the way. So you might want to drop by tonight there. And then on Thursday, I'll be on the road as well. We'll be in Carlinville and in Prentice with Farm Credit Illinois. Thanks to them for having me MC their events all this week and next week, too. I'm Todd Gleason.